Just like to read four very short passages of scripture. The first of being in the Epistle to the Colossians and chapter 1. And I would just like to read a clause in verse 20. And it's on page 1423 of the Bible I'm reading from. Halfway through the verse, having made peace by the blood of his cross. And then turn with me to Luke's Gospel. And chapter 7, page 1233, Luke 7, and verse 48. And he, that is Jesus, said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that were with them at table began to say within themselves, who is this who forgives also sins? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. The Epistle to the Romans in chapter 5, that's on page 1353, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, in chapter 15 of the verse of the same book, page 1366, and just 13, verse 13, chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm sure most, if not all, are aware, is Remembrance Sunday. And it's a day when it's remembered about those who gave their lives in war, that peace might be established and that we may be able to live in relative peace and quiet. If you go through most towns in this country or villages, you will see a monument in these towns listing those who sacrificed their lives, those that gave up their lives, their young lives, that we might live in, as I say, a level of peace and security. If you travel abroad in northern France and Belgium, you'll come across war graves. And it's hard not to be affected when you see the rows and rows of headstones. And you read on these headstones the ages of these young men who laid down their lives. You might say gave the ultimate sacrifice. Remembrance Sunday is the nearest Sunday to today, the celebration of the armistice, which was not celebration, commemoration of the armistice, which we know was signed on the 11th, came into effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 2018, after 4.5 years of terrible fighting and slaughter on the Western Front. The terms of that peace, which was established by a treaty, were very stringent, and because they were so hard, it led to another world war in 1939, where a further tremendous number of people lost their lives. It should have sober us and affect us, these sort of things that have happened, but I want to tell you tonight of a peace that has been established, which is eternally effective. And I also want to speak about the cost that it has been to the blessed God that there might be this peace established. That you, my dear friend, as we read in the last verse that I read, might have peace and joy in believing. What God has in mind is that you might have peace in your heart tonight, dear friend. Many today are living, they do not know anything about peace. They live in fear and worry and turmoil, all that is happening in the world. And they do not have any security. But tonight, should each of us here in this hall, as we hear God's word to us, we can have peace and security. But I think we should start with the cost that it has been to the blessed God that this peace might be established. And it's peace, as we've read in our first scripture, peace has been made by the blood of his cross. And that is the cross of Jesus, friend. It stands there for time and eternity. The cross where everything was worked out in relation to the great matter of sin and to your sins. And God had his son, God's son Jesus, hung on that cross and bore the penalty of my sins and your sins if you'll believe. But he took upon himself the whole sin question. What a moment in the history of this world it was. You might say that everything looks back to that moment when Jesus hung upon that cross. How, what a tremendous moment it was. And think of how what it meant to the blessed Lord Jesus himself. If you read this passage in Colossians 1, you can read about who this person is that hung on that cross. Jesus, God's own son. The preceding verses that we read. By him are created all things. The power that belongs to him. In whom the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. And yet that blessed person came down from heavenly glory. Came here to this earth to fulfill the will of God. He knew everything that it entailed. We were affected recently when we read that Jesus came here. He came here to die. He knew that that's what lay before him. The only man who had a right to live. He came here to lay down his life. All of us here, we have forfeited our right to live because we are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Thus death has passed upon all men. What a penalty. What a result of the failure of man and the disobedience of man to the word of God. And yet every person in this world is on that same playing field, you might say, the same level. We all deserve death and judgment. And if God hadn't acted from his own side, that's where we would all be. But think of the way that God has come in to secure your blessing. He loves you. He loves his creature. For God so loved that he gave. What a heart. What a God we know. One who gave all that he had to secure your blessing. You know, we're affected when we hear of stories of heroism, when people have laid down their lives that someone else might go free. Some people in these battles in war, they took the shots that saved others from being killed. The supreme sacrifice. But the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is far above anything that man has done, because he gave his life that for humanity, you might say. That John could point to Jesus as he walked, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." What an insight John had as to the greatness of that person that walked upon this earth. And I desire that everyone here today might have their hearts and their minds and their souls full of the glory of Jesus and full of what he has done. And I pray that each of us may here come to trust him and to love him if we have not already done so. And as a result of the preaching, something might be affected in each of our hearts that will result in a greater note of praise to the blessed God, but too, that each one here may commit their lives in service to the Lord Jesus until that moment when he comes again. Because he is coming again. He went out by way of a cross. What the world did to Jesus, they put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him, they scourged him, they put a purple robe on him and called him the King of the Jews. But you know, that's the last the world saw of him was on the cross. But Jesus was buried and he rose again. And he lives, ascended up into glory where he is at God's right hand. Someone reminded us today, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honour. What a blessed person he is. What a wonderful man that he is. A man in heaven. He's there righteously because of what he has done. It's who he is in his person. But think of what he has done, what he did on that cross. You think of that terrible moment when he hung there, when God closed that scene in darkness. Think of it. 3 hours of darkness was concentrated the power of God's judgment against sin. And Jesus bore it in himself on that tree. Oh, it should affect our hearts that this glorious person was prepared to hang there and to suffer. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He's hung there for you, friend. You say, I don't deserve it. No, we don't deserve it. It's not a question of deserving. We deserve nothing but death and judgment, as I said. But God has acted from his side because he wants you. He desires you to be saved. He wants you in his presence. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God has? He loves you so much that he wants you to be there. Jesus has gone, he says, he's gone to prepare a place for us. Isn't it, it should affect us that he went that way to secure us for himself. And so in those 3 hours he hung there and God meted out on him. That scene clothed in darkness, no human eye could penetrate that darkness to see what Jesus was suffering on that cross. But we know what was worked out was the whole matter of the sin question. The sin was judged and condemned, and Jesus was the one that bore it. And at the end of those 3 hours, we were reminded of his words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you say he was forsaken for me? Can you say that? Do you know Jesus personally as your Saviour? Maybe we're all familiar with the terms, but we have we had the experience of what it is to be converted, to be saved, to come to a knowledge that this person's our personal Saviour and Lord. The work has been done, but on the cross he gave up his life. Those soldiers came to break his legs, and then the soldier pierced his side with a spear, and out flowed blood and water. Peace has been made by the blood of his cross. The blood of Jesus was shed on Calvary's tree. The whole basis that God can come out in blessing to you. The whole basis that our sins can be forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It had to be. The blood of Jesus had to be shed. It's poured out. The Lord Jesus could say, poured out for you. Oh, what a sacrifice it was. And the whole basis of your redemption could be established on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. We have no other basis to claim forgiveness but in the blood of Jesus. And so Jesus, he shed his blood. Peace can be established in your soul tonight because the terms of God's peace have been established in what Jesus has done. It is a perfect work. It is a complete work. It means that nothing can be raised against us because it is a righteous work. And God, my dear friend, wants to bless you tonight through what Jesus has done. So I read of this woman in Luke 7. She was a woman who was troubled about her sins. Have you ever been troubled about your sins? You ever felt guilty about what you've done? I trust you have. Every soul, every sinner saved by grace is a person who's been concerned about their sins. This is in this house of the Pharisee, of Simon. And Simon wasn't concerned about his sins. Simon was thinking he was quite a good person. But then there was this poor woman that came in. She was a woman, says she was a sinner. She came into that house and she saw Jesus there. What she must have known about Jesus, that she could come in there and see him and she could break this box of alabaster on his feet and she could wipe his feet with her tears. Interesting, isn't it, that it was her feet that she anointed. She must have had some sense that this blessed person was going to go the way of suffering for her. The feet of Jesus, where were they to lead? They were to lead but to the cross. They were to lead to that place where the sin question was settled. This poor woman, she met someone who could forgive her her sin. She had an appreciation of Jesus. Simon would appear. He didn't have much of an appreciation of who was there. And the Lord had to challenge him, didn't he? Who is he that loves much? And he said, I suppose he to whom the most is forgiven. As I say, have you ever been troubled about your sins? You know, we each of us should be so. If we've not confessed, repented towards God and confessed our sins, we should be worried. We should be concerned. Because the basis of our blessing and our forgiveness is through repentance. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus. And this dear woman, as I say, Simon said, he criticised the Lord in his spirit. He said, if he was a prophet, he would know who this person was. For she is a sinner. Well, I class myself as a sinner. What do you class yourself as tonight? But I can say I'm a sinner saved by grace. All have sinned, tells us all. That's every man, woman and child that's ever lived is a sinner. Whether we like the term or not. And the world tries to remove that thought from people's minds. It will not call sin what it is. But sin is sin. And the Lord Jesus came to save sinners. How thankful I am of that. And this woman was a sinner and she found her Saviour. And she wept. She wept over his feet and she dried his feet with her tears. Think of the love that she expressed towards Jesus. And Jesus had to speak to that hard Pharisee because his heart was hard. He had no appreciation of the person who he was entertaining. But this woman loved Jesus. And so at the end of it, he says, thy sins are forgiven. What a wonderful moment that is in the history of a soul when we realise that our sins have been forgiven. Forgiven. Tremendous, isn't it, that we can have our sins forgiven. How can they be forgiven? Because Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. He shed his precious blood that we might be redeemed and brought back to God. And so they began to criticise, said within themselves, who is able to forgive sins? What a question. Who is able to forgive sins? Tells us somewhere else. Who is able to forgive sins except God alone? Yes, the person, the man that was there, was God himself. God manifest in flesh. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That man who came down from heaven, God himself manifested as a man here on the earth. And this was the person whom this woman drew near to. Won't you draw near to Jesus tonight? Won't you come and trust him and put your faith and trust in him? He loves you. He's died for you. He's shed his blood for you. Surely you can love someone like that that's given so much that you might be set free and know what it is to be forgiven of your sins. And so he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Isn't that a remarkable statement? Faith in Christ can give us peace. Peace in relation to our sins. That woman's history and our history can be met in coming to Jesus. Her whole history that he would know all about. Jesus knows all about us. And that's another wonderful thing. He knows all about us and yet he still loves us. And he's prepared to forgive us. He knew about every one of this woman's sins. He knew she was a sinner. He knew what she'd done in her life. He knew all about the woman of John 4 too, didn't he? He knew all about her. And yet, she could say to them, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Where is your faith tonight, dear friend? I trust it's not in anything in this world, in any politician. Forbid it. Put your trust in anything else but in the precious finished work of Jesus. And the person himself, by faith has saved thee. You say, I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to accept the gospel. So many people do seem to. The simplicity of it. And yet there it is. All you have to do is put your faith, your trust. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's what God is asking you, to trust Jesus tonight in the glad tidings. And so go in peace. I wonder how that doesn't say anything. Doesn't even say that the woman said anything to Jesus, does it? But she had a repentant spirit and she showed the repentance and love for Jesus. And Jesus gives her these wonderful words. Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. You can have peace in your heart, peace in your soul tonight by having faith in Jesus and in what he has done. Well, may it be your portion, my friends. So we come into Romans chapter 5. And just before we read, it speaks, Jesus our Lord, who has been delivered for our offences, but has been raised for our justification. Delivered for our offences. Yes, Jesus was delivered up to that cross to die for our offences. It's for what we had done. Paul makes it very personal in Romans, doesn't he? It's our offences and not someone else's. It's our offences that put Jesus on the cross. Delivered for our offences, but then has been raised for our justification. That's another wonderful thing of the glad tidings. Jesus not only went into death, he didn't remain in death. 3 days and three nights he lay in the heart of the earth. But he arose again the third day and has been raised by the glory of the Father. Think of what it means to the Father to see his Son raised amongst the dead. And Jesus has not only come out of death, he's defeated the power of death. And he had the might of death, that is the devil. And he can set you free from that fear of death that holds so many today in the world. What lies before? What lies before you? You can have peace and security in relation to the future. And he has been raised for our justification. As I've often said, and many have heard it here before, no court in the land can justify someone. They might forgive you, but God can justify you so that you can come and stand in God's presence. It's not a question of what we feel. Some poor soul said to me recently, said, I don't feel saved. It's not a question of feeling saved. It's a question of believing and trusting the work of Christ. What God has said is the relation to it. If you trust the work, if you believe what God says in his gospel, if you believe, it's you believing what God has done, not a question of what you feel about it. It's not our judgment that matters, it's God's judgment. God is satisfied with all that Jesus has done. That's why he raised him from amongst the dead. And then he was received up in glory, where he is today, waiting to save those that call upon him, raised for a justification. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, that means it's on that matter of faith, of trusting God. We can be justified on that principle. We have peace towards God. You can have peace towards God tonight, not in fear and trembling. We read of the God, our God is a consuming fire. Yes, he is. How terrible will be the judgment of God upon this earth and upon all those that have received, refused the glad tidings. Think of the terrible judgment that must surely come very soon. We see conditions in the world, how awful they are, how they're ramping up to get worse and worse. God is going to have to judge the sin. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You cannot trifle with God's glad tidings. You cannot take it or leave it. It's for your acceptance. God commands that all obey his message. Where do you stand tonight? Where do we stand as before a holy and righteous God? Well, we can have peace. On the principle of faith, we have peace towards God, but it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, there's no other way. You can't try another religion. You can't try and make your own way to God. How many attempt to do so? How many try self-improvement? I don't know whether you've ever tried it, but it doesn't last very long. Because that's that which is without, but there's that which is within as well. And how we need to come through God's way of just trusting in Jesus, having faith in him and his work. And then we can have peace towards God. It's a wonderful thing to have peace in your soul, you know. In a world that's in so much turmoil, so much unrest and worry, you can have absolute eternal security through the work of our Lord Jesus. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or may we be simply trusting in him tonight. And I finally finished in chapter 15 there. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Well, may that be the portion of everyone here, to be filled with all joy and peace in believing. Well, I trust that everyone can go away from this hall tonight filled with joy and peace because they're believing in the Lord Jesus and his finished work. As I said, there's no other way. You can't try and make your own way to heaven. You'll never get there. You'll never reach God's standard. None of us can reach God's standard at all. We have to accept what we are, and we have to come the divinely appointed way, because God has given so much that this peace might be established. He has given everything. He's given the Son of his love, that you might know what it is to have peace. God's established that peace. No other person in the universe can break that, because it's what God has done in his work. It's not a question, as I said, of what we do. He just asks us to believe it and to trust it, and that we might enjoy and know something of this peace and joy in believing. Sadly, too many Christians don't know much about joy, do they? But maybe they haven't got this sense of peace. If we had more sense of peace, then surely there'd be more joy about us. What a testimony that would be to those around us. And you come across people today so concerned and so worried. Can they see something of this peace and joy emanating in our hearts and our lives, that whatever happens, we know that everything is sure? You know, in fact, reading recently in Philippians about Paul, who could speak with such confidence in Philippians about dying, and it was no fear for him. He knew that if he died, he would be in the presence of his Saviour. And it's a wonderful thing to come across believers on their deathbeds who have this confidence that they know where they're going. They have certain peace, that they know they're going to be in the presence of their Lord and Saviour, the one who they have trusted. Some may not have trusted for very long. You don't have to do years of service. You just have to come now and accept the work of Jesus for yourself and know that peace in your own heart. Or may we know something of it. May we be filled that we should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that's missing in this world is hope. Not much hope out there, is there? Oh, hope in politicians is soon dashed. And other things in life as well. People in their businesses sometimes, the hope that they have, things don't turn out. Their marriages and their lives, things don't work out. But that's not where our hope should be. We should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another wonderful benefit of the glad tidings is God gives his Holy Spirit to those that obey him. Tonight, as trusting in Jesus, you can have that power. It's a power that's within you and given to you. Divine person taking residence in your heart and in your soul. What a wonderful thing it is. I think that helps us, doesn't it, when we come to bury a saint. We realise that that person, their body's been the temple of the Holy Spirit. What a value that is upon each believer, that we each belong to God and he dwells in our hearts. May we know something of it. May we know something of this joy. But above all, may we know something of this peace. May it be so for his name's sake.
Amen.